This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
We've got Matt Graham here. It's always good to have you. I love your screens. I love what you do, brother. What you have behind us, what I have on my screen back here with all that information is nothing less than outstanding. And I just want every one of our listeners to sign up for your service at mbslive.net. But we've got Matt Graham, CEO, founder of mbslive.net, with us with a market update. What you got, Matt?
Hey, Dave. Great to be here today. Bond market's not necessarily feeling the same, but we'll get to that in a second. Last week was generally good for the bond market because it helped yields or rates sort of reject the super high ceiling that was seen in the middle of June. And as a reminder, that ceiling came in response to the market's response to the CPI data, Consumer Price Index, from the previous Friday. I know we're going way back in time here, Dave, because I wasn't with you last week. So CPI came in hotter than expected. That was Friday the 10th. And then markets kind of freaked out heading into the Fed announcement from 2 weeks ago. And once the Fed confirmed the 75 basis point hike, then that really marked the ceiling in rates. And we were hoping that's what we were going to see. We were hoping the market was freaking out and that was going to kind of moderate, especially in light of the fact that current economic data, most of the rate hike cycle is priced in fairly well at those levels. So that afforded bonds the opportunity to carve out this new high sideways volatile range that we've been looking for. And last week, because there were some gains, but they weren't really exuberant gains, sort of acted like a confirmation to whatever extent you can have a confirmation of something so uncertain. And why is it uncertain? Because the trading range is really only as good as the inflation-related economic data that comes in and the Fed's response to it. Speaking of the Fed's response, David, we heard from a million Fed speakers last week, and it was as if they were all given the exact same script and the bullet points on that script. I mean, it was uncanny, really. I mean, the wires that were coming across, you could just change names out, and they were all the same. And there were no fewer than 7 Fed members that said the exact same 4 points. And the first was that they're super strongly committed to their inflation goal. That's job number one. A couple of them actually used those words, job one. And then the second point was that it makes sense to hike rates faster at first so we can level off sooner and possibly need less tightening overall. They all said some iteration of the job market, labor market being extraordinarily great and tight and all the rest of it. We're not worried about jobs. And then they all said something about, hey, raising rates does increase recession, but we think we can do this without a recession. We're still aiming for a soft landing, yada, yada, yada. You can't just yada, 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 soft landing. I tried to tell them, but they wouldn't listen. Away we went, and the market was kind of like, meh, looks like the Fed is about where we thought they were, and it really didn't cause any market reaction. Powell's prepared remarks at the Senate testimony, no major reaction there. If anything, slightly positive for the bond market. But the biggest gains followed PMI data, purchasing managers' indices, sort of like little mini GDP reports that come out every month. And Europe was the big market mover overnight on Thursday. And then during the day on Thursday, we had PMI data in the U.S. 9:45 a.m. Also a bit weaker than expected, also showing a deceleration of inflation, and bonds reacted favorably to that, hitting their best levels on Thursday, but sort of bouncing with 10-year yields not able to make it any lower than 3%. So what this means in the bigger picture is we were looking for a certain sideways range to sort of bookend this big spike in rates that was taking place in 2022. We knew that at some point that would level off, and it looked like that was probably happening after early May. And then it sort of bounced at 3% and took off again. And we were hoping to see those early May levels hold up. That was when 10-year yields hit 3.2, by the way. So all that CPI drama I mentioned at the beginning that caused rates to break up and over 3.2, and suddenly we're adrift again, trying to identify the next sideways range. And now that's really what this week is all about. It's a holiday shortened week, might not be as well traded from a liquidity standpoint as we would hope when we're trying to identify these sorts of sideways ranges, but it's pretty wide, pretty volatile. I think mainly I would just love to see bonds continue to hold under 3.5%. A lot of smart people out there think that that has a really good chance of being the ceiling for the year and potentially longer. And as I said at the beginning, and as they say, when they make these claims, It really does depend on how inflation comes in. To that end, last thing I got for today, Dave, PCE prices come out on Thursday this week. That'll be our key data point, biggest potential market mover. In the meantime, Treasury auction supply has put a bit of a damper on today. About 2 minutes before I started talking, 5-year Treasury auction came in weaker than the previous averages would like it to come in at, and bonds are reacting negatively. Yields are up a bit, MBS are down a bit, some lenders are going to reprice for the worst, and that is all I got for today.
Well, we're not done with you, though. Jack's always got a few comments to put in here. So, Dr. Nunnery.
Quick question for Matt. Do you think that the market's baked in another 75 basis points increase in Fed funds rate for the month of July?
Fed funds futures would suggest that that is a fairly decent chance, a little bit better than a real 50% chance that that's going to happen. And based on the Fed comments last week, it seems like that is probably something they'll do. But this is what makes Thursday so volatile. If the PCE data is noticeably hotter than expected, I think it all but guarantees that. And if CPI data falls off in the same way that some of the PMI inflation components suggested, then they might play things a little bit slower. But I do think it's notable, right, that it seemed like they were all reading off the same script last week, and that one of the talking points on that script was that it made more sense to get to their destination quicker than slower. And that seems to suggest that they would like to do 75 now and then maybe take off a 25 bip hike that they may have planned for in the future. Powell can certainly do that and deliver that message. They can hike 75 bips even to the surprise of the financial market. And then Powell could come out in the press conference and say, hey, everybody. Yeah. I see that bonds are tanking and stocks are tanking. You think we're being too aggressive now. But just remember, we said this stuff about getting to the destination early. This is what I'd like to call a dovish 75 bips. So don't worry. We're doing 75 now. And then we're not going to do one of the 25s that we may have had planned later in the year. So just don't worry about it. We just want to get there like all of you guys on the internet were talking like we should have a long time ago. So, hey, let's see what happens.
David, I saw that the median single-family home price in May rose to $414,200.
That's pretty interesting.
I went out to the MBA site where they have the mortgage finance forecast, and I was looking at revisions to 2022 and then revisions to the forecast for 23 and 24. And earlier in the year, the forecast for 22 was around 2.5 to 2.7. Now it's dropped to $2.4 trillion for 2022, and they revised the forecast down for 2023 to $2.2 trillion and returning back to $2.5 trillion in 2024. And really, the underlying message here for our listeners is we're going to be in this for 2.5 more years based upon what the forecast models are saying. It's not a short-lived downturn in the market. This is the 3-year forecast out to 2024, and it looks about the same as it does today.
Yeah, and you look at these numbers are still strong. Origination numbers. What feels so dramatic about this is the precipitous drop from ridiculous highs, unusual highs.
If you refi heavy, it sucks right now. There's no way around that.
Absolutely. No question.
And that's always going to be the case when you have a boom like that. So
those collapses of the refinance market, it does feel like a collapse, and it's a lot of interesting perspective. And I recorded an interview with Ron Rainberg. We're going to do that next week. And so, again, some more commentary about how we should be looking at this. Good stuff. Matt Graham, you do such an outstanding job, my friend. Appreciate you for the services you do. And everyone, you can sign up for mbslive.net. by putting in LOL as a sign-up code, you get an extended trial period with no credit card required. So give it a try. Be sure to do it. Matt, thank you for being here, friend.
Thanks, David. Have a great rest of your week.
You bet. Glad to have you here as always. Next week, Jack and I are going to be here. We're going to be talking about the latest trends, some of the things going on. He and I are going to gather around on the 4th of July, and we may have some barbecue going in the background somewhere, but we're thrilled to come with you. And Jack, say thank you in advance for taking time on your 4th of July to come on and share your thoughts with me about leadership and how should we be looking at these markets and what can we help others to look at it and lead their organization. So very excited about it. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, Form Free, Lender Toolkit, SnapDocs, Total Expert, Simple Nexus. They do all such great jobs. We're so grateful for them. Also, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America and a Lender One, the Mortgage Collaborative Success Kit, Knowledge Coop, Mobility, MMI, Modex, the Mortgage Advisory Tools, and DW Consulting. I appreciate you all. Have a great week, everybody. Look forward to having you back here next week. Keep the comments coming in. We love your feedback. text them to me at 512-632-2900, or you can go to LinkedIn and share them that way. Appreciate you all. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.